you as I take your mind to make you sound. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share. Say it loud. Say it loud. One more time. Say it loud. I've worked on jobs with my feet in my hands. You know all the work I did was for the other man. And now we demand a chance to do things for ourselves. We're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud.
Say it loud, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I am black and I am proud. I tell you, I got my little thing all mixed up. My son bought me these. This man's in them. Black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. Is this the newest one? This man? How y'all doing this morning? This man's in it. I just want to make sure I have mine. Okay, this man. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I don't know. Okay. Okay, I'm back, y'all. How y'all doing out there this morning? Woo, it's a nice, I had to come use that park in the garage, but it was so packed that I had to go on the lot. So y'all had to wait a few minutes for me, huh? Okay, how y'all doing this morning? It's so good to be with y'all this morning, considering all the things that's going on and all the things that have gone on, and we are having Black History Month. You're also celebrating us as a people. All kind of stuff is going on, but most folks are focusing on what happened with Van Dyke. We're going to touch on that shortly. You know, I try not to touch on the violence as much as I do as trying to push our children and our other folks. It's really something. I was listening at the Black Network on my way. They was talking about how black people die and have different things going on with them than anybody else. And that's because of our stress level. That's because of all the stuff that we have to wake up to and we go to bed to. It's really deep. Even if you have something, you might think you're living all right, but you done moved downtown on moving on up, or you done just done some driving around in your car. You got to worry about somebody taking your car, or if you. I was looking today, I saw where down there on Arbor Drive where they going to them folks. Down in the parking lot stealing folks' cars. I think some of this stuff is organized. And, you know, they know good cars down. They're taking them and they ship them over. But it's a whole other thing. I can't get too far into that because we got so much stress going on with our children. I was telling my nail technician, I was telling Virgie the other day that, you know, it's sad we can't see children jumping rope, riding their bikes or family enjoying themselves. You used to having children jumping rope and just talking and playing and riding their bikes and doing it, that you just don't see it in our community anymore. If you're going to see it, you're going in other folks' community or you're going downtown. But it's really something to see the way these folks are continually letting their children have normal life in spite of what's going on. They still their schools and stuff. When I was coming in, I was showing everything. That just reiterating that British School of International British School right behind VOM, behind Target. That's not for our children. Might be a few children going there. But these folks are making sure that their children are educated, and they're making sure that they get the resources and all the other things. And what they're giving us is systemic racism, violence, either telling us about white supremacy. So you just stay all uptight all the time about that without even thinking about what you need to do. And since we are celebrating Black History Month, I just don't understand how we might not look back to move forward. You look back, you move forward, but it's really interesting. I'm not going to take a break. Okay. It's really interesting that everybody keep us all uptight. We stay uptight. And other folks move forward based off our uptightness. Everything we do. All of our history. I was looking at a photographer yesterday on Channel 9 who had staged that water fountain of a picture he had of a guy drinking out of water fountain for color only. Wasn't the right kind of fountain, so I know he staged that. That water fountain for color only. But they was looking at a lot of his pictures and stuff he took. Somebody was a photographer that he took, and he did the movement. And he set up like a museum before the before we had this so-called quote-unquote pandemic, and for people to come see. And then I was talking to some folks in Mississippi, and even the Mississippi history is done by the folks. It's a, you know, really, it's really, if you take a moment and look at it, it's the same group that have our history all over this country, and they're the keeper of the history. If you go to even the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, I know y'all get a lot of stuff on them, but they, it's the same group of people that on the backs of the history of Black people, they are now still making money off of us, you know, all these folks, because they'll say, yeah, the Blacks couldn't do this, couldn't do that, and we got all this history, and then they'll go back and tell you how they were suffering based off of us. As we celebrate Black history, we need to know no group ever and no group that's in this country have gone through in America what we've gone through, and that's a fact. But they'll take what we fought for and they will put it on themselves like they're experiencing that. But then they move on and build communities. I just got to figure out how to go around, and once I was going to take a bus of people in these different communities and show them the difference of their communities and ours, what had happened. But I guess I need to just get my camera or whatever and do what I'm going to do myself and just do like a film thing to show. These other communities, they have communities. I was reading an article in the paper this week, I don't know what, because I read about 3 or 4 papers at one time. They was talking about this community that some of the agents that they live in. They said it's a good community, good schools, they do this. Now, other folks come over, all of these people, based off of what we did, and they'll use what we did to advance themselves and do what they got to do. And we acquiesce to them, and we tell them we're celebrating Black history. How can you celebrate the historical perspective when you really don't know anything about it enough to give it to your children? At least when I was in school, my teachers in Alabama and in Florida taught us about Black folks and what we did. We even learned it in the church who we was. But they just don't get that now. What you're getting is a watered-down version. But in the meantime, they think our whole life is based off of systemic racism and white supremacy. No. That's not. We weren't dealing with that kind of stuff as we dealt with all of our atrocities that went on with us. And if you keep talking about stuff and don't have where you said, this is what's going on with us, and this is what we're going to do about it. And that was the difference then, if you look at Black history, and now. And it's because Black folks are not leading their own struggle. And it's the first time in the history of this country that we didn't have a group of, I don't know, you tell me who. We didn't have no black people that was really working on behalf of black people. People now work on behalf of black and brown people. That's what they work on behalf of. And I don't have anything against anybody else that they want. I'm not trying to qualify it or anything. I'm just saying. And we work with all people. But all these other folks, they have all of the organizations in place to advance their people economically, educationally, all the things they want, even set up. And, you know, we used to want to have dealerships because we bought cars, you know. And now we don't have any, right? But they got dealerships. We had when you and they got you not working, y'all better get y'all butts off. You look at all the service jobs and stuff. When you look around, when you go out and see who's doing, the folks bring their whole family. So they telling you, don't do it, don't do it. Stay home. And you look and they got one person that bring the whole family. I remember when Dale M was getting ready to privatize, the custodian at the airport. I really fought very hard against it. It didn't get enough support because most of your custodian at O'Hare and Midway was black people when they privatized the custodian in City Hall and all of our stuff. It was a lot of black people because over the years, black folks was working in those positions because their committeemen and their aldermen got them those jobs. That was during the time that black folks were working with black folks. But once they privatized it, then you black folks went away. And I told them on the floor, you know, one thing about the history, keep all the stuff is in the books and it's all there. I said, well, we privatized it, a lot of black folks are going to lose their job. And, you know, I got pushback. And, of course, I voted against it, but I think majority of black aldermen voted for it. If any of them that was there with me that didn't, tell me. I think who might have voted with me against that? Shaw voted with me. Hathcock voted. It was about three of us who voted against privatizing the three or four privatizing the custodians. I said, most of the black folks are doing the custodian work. Why are y'all going to privatize? And you just don't see that. Now, we don't do custodian work. We don't do any kind of service work. It makes no sense. But people get on back, well, I've been abusing this system. This system haven't done anything to these people. I'm sorry. The system have done it to black people, black Americans. Because nobody, as Leon Lerone Bennett said, and I got all this when we was doing the reparation hearings. I got a lot of tapes and stuff. I'm going to put them out at some point. But Lerone said, Lerone Bennett, now, nobody have suffered and gone through so much as the black man in America. And that's the truth. And as we open up doors, other folks just came in, pushed us away, and then we start begging them for something. And the reason we get caught up in, Dr. Anderson said we was going to be fifth. He said you won, you second. You're going to be fifth, sixth, or seventh in a minute. Dr. Anderson predicted that. So the things, when I saw him talking about the water fountain, he making money, I was saying, no. I remember the color and the white water fountain. And we fought. See, I want people to call in, too, as we talk about what we did go through. We fought against. That we had a right, not that we thought we just need to drink behind the white folks, but we had a right to drink wherever we had to be or go to whatever, you know, we had to do that. Yeah. And I was looking, they showed a restaurant. Well, how did they keep them out the restaurant? They just told them not to. Well, I can recall that, I'll be 75 this year, but I can recall that when you went downtown, we could cook in the kitchen. That's why I hate to go through these drive-thrus now because they got, it's almost kind of similar, y'all, but, and it just is nasty. The drive-thru should be cleaner when you go around to them nasty windows. The people will be in there cooking and the whites will be in there eating and stuff, and black folks were serving them too, y'all. And you had to go to a little cubby hole in the back, and they give you your food out of the back, like a little sandwich or something, and, I remember my grandma, my people had always had pride. My grandma, when we went downtown, we'd go to Red Bell's and eat in Montgomery. And she would always have our food in a little shoebox or something for us to have our food. And we'd sit up in that little black club restaurant while they dance and all the other stuff and eat our sandwich. And they order a little Coca-Cola for us to drink. That was our little outing. But we could cook it, but we couldn't eat it. These folks have not had those kind of problems. You know, we worked, my mother worked for a little or nothing cleaning white folks' houses. My mother, I loved her. I didn't even know we was poor. She gave us so much love. I didn't even know we was poor. I remember she worked first when I was a little bitty girl in Montgomery. She worked for cleaners where you clean clothes, wash clothes and do clothes. And I remember one day she came home and she had this cast it on because they had just got those new wash machines that you go through. Her arms went through. But then later on she worked for Mr. Matt, raised his children because his wife left him and ran off with a sailor or something. But anyway, and she would also have to come and take care of us. That's why I learned how to cook so early. But there was love and stuff in our household, not only just from my parents, mother and father, our parents like that. It was from the whole neighborhood, from the whole neighborhood, the grandmama, the aunties, the neighbors, the next door, you know, how we got along and stuff. So we got other folks telling our stories now, and our children really don't understand the story. I never knew. I didn't know nothing about being poor. I was having a good time. I thought everybody liked black-eyed peas and cornbread. And really, we was healthier than greens and beans and mashed potatoes. And people go fishing. They came back. They bring a bucket of fishing and share with everybody. It was another kind of love and stuff, and everybody watched out for everybody. But my mother made very little money cleaning up to the white folks' houses. But she always managed to get Junior and I was just my brother not in because my little sisters and who were under me wasn't born. They always made sure we had what we were supposed to have, and we didn't know. We really didn't. I remember I got in a fight once at school, and I think the teacher named Miss Blair. I don't know that. And she grabbed me, and she tore my blouse. And Lord, forgive me, God. I turned around on that woman, and they got my mama. My mama came up there. I'm sorry, Mama, but I know how much you saved up on this blouse to buy me this blouse. And she tore my blouse that you had put in layaway and got out for me. So they can't talk about our history all weekend. They came over and really began to enjoy everything. You look, I heard somebody say the other day on one of them foreigners who are in government now talking about, I can't help because they don't take advantage of what they were supposed to take advantage of. I want y'all to keep that in y'all mind as you're thinking about black history. When we fought to become part of this, we didn't try to tear down America. We were trying to build up America. So when you call and talk this morning, we want to talk about our black history. I don't need to hear about this man with the systemic racism and white supremacists. You don't even know what it is, what white supremacists is. I've lived with Ku Klux Klans with sheets over their head. Don't forget, our church in Montgomery got bombed on Bell Street Church. And four other churches got bombed at the same time. So, you know, these folks talk this stuff. I went to Selma when I took my grandbaby. And I took her to the Civil Rights Museum to show her grandmother in the Civil Rights Museum. But, you know, how we let other folks talk about it and do our history. We won't do our history real. So the way they got that stuff set up at the museum, the Civil Rights Museum in Selma, our children would never know the truth. They got it wrong. Yeah, I'm with the women of the movement on the wall, but, and all due respect to Jesse, Reverend Jackson, because I tell you, but they got like a whole room of voting right to him down there, which is all right. But he wasn't there for the voting rights stuff, and that room should be given to Bevel. And that's not sure no shade on him. It's just that Bevel and Diane are the reason why we was there. And Jose, he didn't do it. I'm sure he didn't do it. He went when they unveiled it. So I'm not blaming him. But these are some Europeans who now own that museum, and they have decided how they're going to tell the voting rights story of the Selma movement. They're the ones who wanted to change the Edmund Pettus Bridge. They want to tear down all our statues. You said black folks. Why do they want to tear down all your statues? Y'all join in. Why is white folks telling y'all about a white systemic racism and white supremacy? You know, they lead you, and you jump right in it. They tear down the statues. If every statue in this country that's dealing with American history is torn down. Our history is intertwined in that. You can't tell the story. So what you're going to have in about 50 years is these other folks' statues. They put a statue of Floyd up there in New York, and they look at him over Dr. King, and they would think that our history is just brutality. And we had brutality that was much deeper than it was really deep. This has been in this country. So we get all caught up in it when you're talking about black history. Like when Virginia, when that governor had came on in the paper with a black face and a Klan's hat on, and then they told you, we can't talk about that because we'll lose the seat. Black folks, stop. We got to start thinking about our own stuff and our own self. When we talk about black history, you know, you need to get, without sanctuary, every house should have that. You can talk about our children with that. And we begin to tell our own story. We should not let Jose William, Diane Nash, Belleville, or even Jimmy Jackson, C.T. Vivian, and all those folks who suffered so much and really put that stuff together. Now, but as they rewrite the history, that's not the way it is. And I was really upset when I went there. It had nothing to do with my brother, Jesse. But the fact that that's the way they told that story, and I said, what is this? Where's Bubba? Where's Jose? They said, well, you know. And the young man said, who are you? Are you Dorothy Wright? I said, yeah. I thought I knew you. So I've been trying to tell them, but this is what they're doing. But that's how our history is being told, how they want to tell it. And like Dr. King said, everybody, like as a matter of fact, is like vitamin C to the ego, even when a person don't deserve it. Now, our history, as we talk about black history, has it being told. We have state legislators who voted to put the history of the Asian people in the schools. But yet at the same time, we have to wait for black history to talk about our history. They did not say, oh, no, we're going to put together some people who are authority on history and put together, not just on CRT and all that stuff, but people, you know, when you looked at Lerone Bennett, he was a historian. You get folks to put this history together and tell this history, how we were from enslavement on to here. And it should be told and taught. But if our people who we put in place don't have the balls or the fortitude or the guts or the understanding to fight to do it, we won't. Now, when you talk about Asia, people think you're talking about Chinese. This is more than that. It's all these folks are coming from all over the Middle East over there. They're considered the Asian, too. So their number will at some point. I'll pay yours because you're talking about Koreans, you're talking about Chinese, you're talking about the people who just got here from Afghanistan, you're talking about all these people. Now, one thing about it, because I got to take a break, and we're going to talk about black history, so we're talking about y'all. We're going to talk about how important education was to black people. How important was education to black people? How do we make it? How do we build? How do we develop? How do we build schools and hospitals? How do we get doctors? We don't need this other stuff they got. How do we do our music? Because, see, our music is in sync with the diaspora. But when they broke our music, that meant that Africa and all the rest of the diaspora, we kind of broke our little thing. But I told y'all way back when, it was an old school, new school. You Negroes joining with that. I said, don't say that because they're dividing us. Our music is one. Now, once they was able to cut through it and our children don't have anybody to look up to their age group, like, you know, they don't have the five staff step of the Jacksons and the folks we had, they stopped saying that. So we just kind of, you know, we can't just talk about black history. We got to really study this thing and look at it and say, where are we now? And why are we here? And other folks have moved on, not because they're so much smarter, but they've taken our struggle and rolled our backs. And not only roll our backs, but then they'll come and be hard on us than anybody else. And we jazz them, yes, and we move back. And we don't have to do that. And then we put people in place who really, really don't fight for black people. I can't do that. I got to, you know, ain't no such thing. Now, most folks, what people say is that they'll say this, they'll say, I'm American. I came to America so-and-so. But I'm from so-and-so. I heard this guy on the Five yesterday, Richard Filer, who's Jamaican. He said he was congratulating this Jamaican. He said his teacher, who really she did good, and she out of all the thousands of teachers, she got the award. He said, and by the way, she's from Jamaica. Now, he's living in America, but he do have a country. Now, I say to you, the descendants of enslaved blacks in America, you living in America, then where you say your country is? Your country is America. Your continent might be Africa, but if you give up all of that right, those rights, because you had a lot of them, and let somebody else move, then you don't have nothing to leave for your children. They think that our life is based off of systemic racism, racism, hollering and screaming. I know, hollering and screaming and all of that. I'm watching hollering and screaming. Then they think that's what our history is, and they don't think nothing else. They don't understand. So we're going to be talking Black history, and I got some other stuff to talk about. I'm going to take the phone. I'm going to listen to you. We're going to go back and forth, and we're going to see what we can do here because we got to do something. Education is important. Economics is important. Family is important. Okay, Talk of Chicago, 69 Drive View, and our number is 773-5916. We're streaming live at www.viewin.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook and group Facebook. Look, coffee to the conversation will be Dorothy Tillman. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'll be back in 2 minutes. I thought I wasn't taking a break. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Get affordable internet that delivers the speed and reliability you need and get more value when you add Xfinity Mobile. Now, qualifying customers can get Xfinity Internet free through the Affordable Connectivity Program. That's right. The Affordable Connectivity Program allows Xfinity to provide free high-speed internet to qualifying customers with speeds of up to 100 megabits per second, so you can connect on all your devices. Act now to get this incredible deal on high-speed internet for more streaming, more gaming, more chatting, and more of what you love. Ready for even more value? Ask how to save when you add Xfinity Mobile for as little as $15 for 1 gigabyte of data a month. To learn more, go to Xfinity.com/free, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Pricing subject to change. Xfinity Internet required. Reduced speeds after 20 gigabytes of usage per line.
It's a new day in America, and once again, Dress to Impress proudly celebrates Black History Month with the 50% annual sale. Now through February 8th, everything is 50% off. The entire dress shoe department, including skin shoes from brands like Meslon, Mari, and Belvedere, 50% off. All wool cashmere coats and top coats. All fitted and fashion suits that Dress to Impress, 50% off. Plus all regular and slim fit wool slacks, 50% off at Dress to Impress. All two-piece sets, walking sets, and sweaters. Plus the entire big and tall section, 50% off. All accessories, dress hats, and cologne. Plus ties and bow ties. You got it, 50% off. And we've got you covered with on-site alterations at all three locations. 1005 East Sibley Boulevard in Dalton. 9537 Southwestern in Chicago. And 4451 West Lincoln Highway in Matteson. It's a new day. Come get a new look. With everything 50% off through February 8th at Dress to Impress.
Do you ever daydream of driving an ice cream truck in a demolition derby?
Whoa!
A Powerball ticket could give your crash a la mode dream a chance. So play Powerball and don't give up your daydream. Game odds available on IllinoisLottery.com. Must be 18 years or older to play.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter.
I've been listening to WVON about the homeowner's exemption, and I never even thought it applied to me. And I finally called in. I would just encourage people to make sure that they listen to the program and talk to the Cook County Treasurer's office, because you guys are like a gold bar in the ocean.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter. Monday mornings at 11:30 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
This is a crime alert from James Finch, former assistant director of the FBI's Cyber Crimes Division.
Your home's title is the only document that proves you own your home. And now, cyber criminals are able to forge our names off our home's title and claim they own it. It's a nightmare crime. Watch a video of a former cyber thief who now trains police, show how it's done, and how Home Title Lock could have stopped him. Visit HomeTitleLock.com/radio. HomeTitleLock.com/radio.
Refinance to today's low mortgage rates and you could save up to $1,000 a month, plus tens of thousands in long-term savings. It just takes a 10-minute call to American Financing to get started. You'll get a custom loan with incredible savings, no pressure, no upfront fees. Pre-qualify for free at 800-777-8109 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
The faith community of St. Sabina is proud to welcome you to their 2022 African American Speaker Series. This year, you'll hear from powerful, thought-provoking leaders who are making a difference today. On Friday, February 4th, hear from a new generation of activists. Meet director, producer, and former star of Grey's Anatomy, Jesse Williams.
What we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours.
Then Sunday, February 6th, at 10 a.m., it's the incomparable Dr. Cornel West.
Wait a minute. How are you going to have a president here and all these children catching hell? And you can't even raise the issue. And yet Wall Street is breakdancing to the bank.
All events are free and open to the public. The series kicks off with Chicago's own Jesse Williams Friday, February 4th at 7:30 p.m. and continues Sunday, February 6th at 10 a.m. with author and lecturer Dr. Cornel West. For more info, call 773-483-4300. That's 773-483-4300. It's the 2022 African American Speaker Series at the Faith Community of St. Sabina, 1210 West 78th Place, where Reverend Michael Flager is the pastor.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Can't quit, and we deserve. That was an attitude, y'all. That was a way of thinking. We knew how we was and how we was treated and what we had to do. So we're back, y'all, as we celebrate this Black History Month and how we teach it our children and all the other stuff. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.vun.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Blog Talk if you miss us. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook. But this is some serious. We had a serious time in our life, y'all, in the life of Black Americans, because our children are lost, and we're behind everybody in education. The unemployment among Black folks is the highest in the land. And you got to ask yourself why. Well, we moved and pushed so much more, and we fought to put folks in place while we were strong. And we let other folks redo our history. Now, they right here fighting about the voting rights bill. We know it's working against us. It ain't got nothing to do with our right to vote because we have the right to vote. The same way I was telling you what they did in the museum in Selma, how they redid that whole museum. They got a whole room, and Bevel is not there, and Bevel got, they put his obituary on the wall, and Diane and Jose and Jim Lee Jackson. That's because that's the way they want. Any children go down there and see it, they're going to think it. And Jesse will be the first to tell you, he wasn't there in Selma on the bridge that I know we went in there. But they would not let you know how our movement was and what happened, so you can't even duplicate it. But we got to stop that. It's not just that. It's a lot of stuff that we're dealing with here. We got to rethink of our history, our family. When they said they were going to get rid of the nuclear families and all those other things, we got to stop that. And I'm going to talk on the other side about the $60 million that this woman got from Black Lives Matter. They just put a stop, and they finna investigate it. She done bought three houses. And I saw some of the family members from Minnesota saying they didn't get none of the money and all that. See, they buy us off, and they make us get compromised, and that means we are afraid to fight. Let me go to the phone for a minute. I want to try to empty some of the calls before I go my next break. Hello, Frank.
Hello,
Frank?
Hey, good morning, Ms. Tillman. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Yes, you are, Ms. Tillman. Let me say, that was so powerful what you said earlier about how our kids came out there jumping rope and playing hopscotch. They don't even say welcome back and forth to the store, Ms. Tillman.
Right.
That's a crying thing. And that points out, that's a classic example, Ms. Tillman, how our children are the ones who are suffering the most and will continue to suffer the most from our own selfishness of the adults.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are the ones who are suffering the most and will continue to suffer the most from the black man not figuring out the two simple things he needed to do to make sure that he would never, ever lose custody of his kids, his children, when he has done nothing wrong. Now, the question I want to ask you, Ms. Tillman, do you think it's fair for a man, period, especially a black man, to lose custody of his kids or his child when he has done nothing wrong? Do you think that's fair?
Well, I don't know the circumstances. Let me tell you this. You know, I was married for 20-something years, and I when I separated and then got a divorce, I made sure that we maintained a healthy relationship for our children's sake, that whatever decision that those children made from their father is when they got old enough to do that. And we maintained a relationship, ate dinner together, do Christmas stuff together and all the other stuff. Most folks didn't even realize that we was divorce, but we always maintain relationships. So I don't know your circumstances.
Yes.
I think it's very important. Wait, Frank. I think it's
okay.
Very important that children have a healthy relationship with both parents. And we have to watch it. And we got to watch these systems that they put our children in, too. And I think that we need to look at that. But right now,
Let me point my book out. I don't want to keep it long. Let me point my book out. The Wrong Business. I'm so glad you are a fan of his, because so am I. Ms. Tillman, that book, Before the Mayflower, was the book that woke me up for the love of my people and was respecting me more than any other. Culturally, that book is my Bible. Okay?
And most of the black colleges had it. Now, you know, he did a new book before he died.
What's the name of it?
Before the Mayflower 2.
Oh, okay. They upgraded. Evan was upgrading 85
and I'm
years.
And I'm in his upgrade.
Lord, how much I got to get out of that notice. So I'm going to hop off right here, Mr. I just want to bring it to the light.
Okay, that's black history. Folks don't know about Lerone and all these folks that fought for him. Okay, thank you. They don't really know. They just got, somebody else is leading our children and leading our people, and they're making money. It's like, and our people are selling their birthright for a cup of soup. I told y'all last week. Black ministers and black women. Black women have always been the keeper of the community, as the black men did others. We worked together, and the minister was always played a major role. And I'm not painting a broad brush, but I'll tell you, a lot of our ministers have sold their birthright for a bowl of soup. Mike.
Yes, good morning, Alderman.
Okay.
I want to speak on contemporary black history. And the aspect, I believe we all need to become more an activist if you want to see whatever you want to see done. And
what do you mean by becoming an activist?
The latest information that I've just recently in the past week found out about Kwan McDonald, I'm so disturbed about it, is that the policeman drove over his body after shooting him 16 times.
Well, what you mean by being an activist? We got to be. I know about that.
So
I'm trying to get into black history.
Being an activist means getting involved, being involved, whether somebody else is doing something or not.
Okay.
One can start.
Okay. But I wanted to know about activism because black folks have always been active. Now, what about our education, our economics, and all of our community being safe? All that, you can't just. That's why I told you about activism. That's why you got to have leadership and have things you got to do. I think what happened to Laquan, I knew his uncle. What happened to Laquan was wrong. But black folks put more into what happened to the brother of Floyd than they did Laquan. Laquan was a child who had not done a whole, didn't even have no rap sheet. So I think we got to do more than just be an activist, because these other activists, you see the $6 billion they done ran off with being activists?
Right, but passing it on, having enough people out there and organizing it, such as you speaking
of. Well, I think
we
got enough things to deal with that. If that's your thing, folks need to come on there. That's a group need to help with that. A group got to help with education. A group got to help academics. So activism got to come across the board, and I agree with you. Bye-bye. See, I think black folks need to be as upset about the violence that's being done to the minds of our children, our spirituality, our family, our community. All these folks, what community do you think they're taking? They're taking yours. I think our eyes is off the prize. I just want to know how we got over them. Sometimes my soul look back and wonder, how did we get over? We got over through God and through our community and our family structure. Things like this. We didn't have all them problems, but we had people like Mahalia.
How did I make it over?
How do we make it over? I tell you. Mahalia Jackson, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 69 at VOEN, 775-9169. We're streaming live, www.VOEN.com. When I you go, look, we're talking about black history and how it's presented and what are we doing with them. Who's telling them how important it's a black family, black children. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'll be right back. Let me hear you tell you.
Tell me how we got over, Lord. Had a mighty hard time coming out over. You know my soul back in wonder. How did we make it over? Tell me how we got over, Lord. I've been falling and rising all these years. But you know my soul, the back and wonder, how did I make it over?
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Of black voters were thrown out at four times the rate of white voters. Auditors say it's because of problems with voters' signatures. State officials say they are not signs that poll workers did this on purpose. The issues with signatures were because some were missing or some didn't match the one on file. They report one out of 40 mail-in ballots from black people were disqualified. State Auditor Pat McCarthy says this is unacceptable.
California's Attorney General says it'll take away the Black Lives Matter Global Network tax exemption status if the organization doesn't hand over their financial records. Attorney General Rob Bonta says the state will also charge late fees to the leaders if they don't get what they need for the 2020 tax year. A letter from Bonta warns that the foundation is delinquent with the Registry of Charitable Trusts for failing to submit required annual reports. The letter adds a group can get back in good standing by paying a fee and reporting their financial activities. BLM says in an impact report, it raised $90 million in 2020.
New research from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology says the wealthy got $366 billion in COVID aid back in 2020. The Black Information Network's Mike Moore has the details on this story.
MIT economist David Auteur says he traced $510 billion in PPP loans the government gave out in 2020. He adds $144 billion went to the bottom 80% of earners and $366 billion went out to the top 20%. Researchers say that money for the top percent was used to boost the value of ownership stakes in businesses. On the flip side, the loans did help struggling businesses keep nearly 3 million jobs when the pandemic first shut down the country. The money was to help pay workers, hire people who were laid off, and help keep the lights on for those who needed the help. I'm Mike Moore on the Black Information Network.
Okay, so if the store has 10 potatoes, right, and you take away two of them, how many potatoes would the store have left?
Janine, what did I say about taking my potatoes from the lunchroom?
But visual learning is so much better.
Well, guess what? Now you have zero potatoes.
Social media star turned actor and producer for ABC's comedy series Abbott Elementary gets a surprise appearance from the middle school teacher that the show is named after. Joyce Abbott was Quinta Brunson's former sixth grade teacher, and Abbott popped up on Jimmy Kimmel Live while Quinta was doing an interview about the hit show. While tears filled Quinta's face, her favorite former teacher told her she was proud of her. The teacher says it's an honor for the show to be named after her as well. The show airs Tuesday nights on ABC. I'm Alexandria Ikemoni with Ray Harris on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
The faith community of St. Sabina is proud to welcome you to their 2022 African American Speaker Series. This year, you'll hear from powerful, thought-provoking leaders who are making a difference today. On Friday, February 4th, hear from a new generation of activists. Meet director, producer, and former star of Grey's Anatomy, Jesse Williams.
What we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours.
Then Sunday, February 6th at 10 a.m., it's the incomparable Dr. Cornel West.
Well, wait a minute. How you going to have a president here and all these children catching hell, and you can't even raise the issue, and yet Wall Street is breakdancing to the bank?
All events are free and open to the public. The series kicks off with Chicago's own Jesse Williams Friday, February 4th at 7:30 p.m. and continues Sunday, February 6th at 10 a.m. with author and lecturer Dr. Cornel West. For more info, call 773-483-4300. That's 773-483-4300. It's the 2022 African American Speaker Series at the Faith Community of St. Sabina, 1210 West 78th Place, where Reverend Michael Flager is the pastor.
Andrea's at a hockey game scratching a multiplier instant ticket from the Illinois Lottery. So even though the goal horn got stuck, Andrea's cheering because she knows anyone could win in an instant. Play today. Be smart, play smart. Must be 18 years or older to play. Game odds available at IllinoisLottery.com.
Various chronic diseases impact vulnerable communities. Improving the care of vulnerable patients with chronic disease is critical to advancing overall health. Interventions through community-based programs can help reduce health care inequities. Hi, this is Dana Devine, host of Equal Health, Equal Hope. This Saturday on the show, my guests will discuss what can be done to reduce health disparities for chronic diseases in vulnerable communities. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
This My STEM Story is powered by our friends at ComEd and Xfinity.
Today's STEM Story features Dr. Scott W. Williams. Dr. Williams is the creator of the website, The Mathematicians of the African Diaspora, also known by its acronym, MAD. The website is dedicated to promoting and highlighting the contributions of members of the African diaspora to mathematics. Dedicated to creating spaces for blacks in mathematics, Dr. Williams also co-founded the Committee for African American Researchers in the Mathematical Science and the National Association of Mathematicians, which he originally titled Black in Third, World Mathematicians, which is an organization consisting of brilliant mathematicians who are dedicated to furthering mathematics among African Americans and other minorities. That's why he's our STEM story.
Enjoy the Black experience on Xfinity. Just say Black experience into your Xfinity voice remote and enjoy the largest curated independent Black film collection on demand. Plus, new and classic TV shows, blockbuster movies, and much more. Xfinity, where Black history is always on. Sign up today at Xfinity.com/Black Experience.
It's a new day in America, and once again, Dress to Impress proudly celebrates Black History Month with the 50% annual sale. Now through February 8th, everything is 50% off. The entire dress shoe department, including skin shoes from brands like Meslon, Mari, and Belvedere, 50% off. All wool cashmere coats and top coats, all fitted and fashion suits that Dress to Impress, 50% off. Plus all regular and slim fit wool slacks, 50% off. At Dress to Impress, all two-piece sets, walking sets, and sweaters. Plus the entire big and tall section, 50% off. All accessories, dress hats, and cologne. Plus ties and bow ties. You got it, 50% off. And we've got you covered with on-site alterations at all three locations. 1005 East Sibley Boulevard in Dalton. 9537 Southwestern in Chicago. And 4451 West Lincoln Highway in Matteson. It's a new day. Come get a new look. With everything 50% off through February 8th at Dress to Impress.
Toyota proudly presents In Their Own Words. Merle Evers in 1963 watched in horror as her husband Medgar lay dying after being ambushed in front of their Jackson, Mississippi home. But Medgar and Merle had already had a difficult emotional conversation about tragic possibilities.
From the beginning, both of us were native Mississippians. So, yes, we did have that conversation, one where both of us cried, held on to each other, and he told me, you must do this for me. you must take care of my children. And you keep the movement going in your heart. I told him, I can't make it without you. And he said to me, and I shall forget, you're stronger than you think you are.
In Their Own Words, proudly presented by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter.
I've been listening to WVON about the homeowner's exemption, and I never even thought it applied to me. And I finally called in. I would just encourage people to make sure that they listen to the program and talk to the Cook County Treasurer's office, because you guys are like a gold bar in the ocean.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter. Monday mornings at 11:30 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
This is a crime alert from James Finch, former assistant director of the FBI's Cyber Crimes Division.
Your home's title is the only document that proves you own your home. And now, cyber criminals are able to forge our names off our home's title and claim they own it. It's a nightmare crime. Watch a video of a former cyber thief who now trains police, show how it's done, and how Home Title Lock could have stopped him. Visit HometitleLock.com/radio. HometitleLock.com/radio.
Refinance to today's low mortgage rates and you could save up to $1,000 a month, plus tens of thousands in long-term savings. It just takes a 10-minute call to American Financing to get started. You'll get a custom loan with incredible savings, no pressure, no upfront fees. Pre-qualify for free at 800-777-8109. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
Got some difficult days ahead. And I don't know whether, but Dr. King was so spiritual, he can, you know, when you know Jesus said, leave your comforter, and that was the Holy Spirit. And when you're into the Holy Spirit like Dr. King, you would know. He probably saw way beyond. He said, but he didn't mind. He said, but of course, he'd been to the mountaintop, but some. He said, he might not get there with us, but we as a people get to the promised land. And I still believe that we're going to be all right because we've gone through these trials and tribulations before. And if we can come from being enslaved and through all the other stuff, I'm sure we'll be all right. It's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. To take that deep breath and to mean it. Our children might not understand what it means to be black. They think to be black means just get shot, to be black means to just don't own under 10-ounce statue. To be black is to be proud, to be black is to build, to be black is to be educated, to be black is to be into family, love your children, your family, your community. That's being black. Take it. That's how we made it. That's how we got over. Take a deep breath, y'all. You ready over there? Black, 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 black. Come on, y'all. For the Trinity. Black, 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 black. One more time, y'all. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you?
Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough?
Tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood.
Nobody. Nobody take your manhood. That's what they're doing now.
Our heritage, as somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary.
That's right.
The synonyms of the word.
It's worse now because they think everything black is just
something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure.
Except inferior skin, inferior everything.
But I want to get the language right.
Get the language right, Dr. King. We need it so much this time, I tell you.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful. Those are the things that Dr. King was saying. We just got through celebrating his birth. We'll be celebrating his assassination in a couple of more months. But those are the things our children need to be hearing. But it's being manipulated because we're not in control of our culture. God bless Lerone Bennett. We don't tell our children about Lerone Bennett. In Chicago, we don't tell our children about Vernon Gerardo, Silas Parnell, Lou Palmer, all these folks who really work very hard. We really don't tell them about the great Harold Washington. You know, when we talk about looking at, you know, Irma Williams put out a great book when she was at Chicago State. and it was a political empowerment of Illinois African American state lawmakers from 1877 to 2005. And I thought it was very interesting. And you all should get that book and read it. I pulled it out the other day because I wanted for Black History to tell you that we had some very serious elected officials. When Black elected officials decided to institutionalize the Black political power, who did you have? You had Harold Washington, Caldwell, Collins, Otis Collins, Calvin Smith, when they formed a study group to examine issues affecting African Americans in Illinois and to explore ways to address those critical issues. They would look at what was going on. Now, these are the folks. See, y'all really didn't, y'all didn't know Harold then. A lot of folks didn't know Harold at that point. And then that's when they said, no, wait a minute, we have strength as a group. Individual, we're not. And so the study group, they brought Richard Newhouse, Charlie Chu, Kenneth Hall of East St. Louis, former Representative Raymond, y'all remember Raymond Ewell. So that became, in 1968, the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus. And it was formed to look at ways and how to help Black people. That's what it was. That's why it was formed. The same reason the City Council Black Caucus was formed, to make sure we got contracts and Black folks got their fair share. It's still that now, but I don't know what's going on. Now, you know, the first person to become a state rep in state government, his name was John E. Thomas, and he was there 1877 to 1905. He was a Republican. But he was the first one. But when you look at folks who were there, when they was down there, they cared about our people. They cared about why they was there. We got to get folks back to that. But we are, like I said, we are into Black History Month right now. And I really have a problem with what we're teaching our children. What do our children see Black history as? Nobody allow other folks to take control of the history. And I'm not sure what our children is seeing. They think our whole history is, oh, white supremacism and systemic racism, and you are inferior. The white man got his foot on your neck. You can't move. You can't educate. These children cannot read. They cannot write. They can't do. They're like functionally illiterate. We got these teachers in these schools because most of the Black teachers are not there. And the good schools are being taken up by your leadership and teachers who don't want to eat that soup. Now, when I look at Sharkey, say he's going on retire. Yeah, huh? You need to. But I looked at my tax bill. You see, you got to see the history of tax. We'll talk about it later. But when you look at the Black community in terms of talking about Black history, look at your tax bill, how they're pushing us out with our taxes. You look at all the things going on with us. Other folks come and they try to say, oh, I know what you mean because I experienced that. Nobody experienced what Black folks experienced. Nobody. Not Black Americans. First of all, you got to reclaim that this is America. This is your home. Africa is your continent. But this is your country. Like everybody, when you travel abroad, they said, what is your country of origin? And the descendants of enslaved Blacks in America, what we did was, we took America and we built and we made it better along. We had God. Like Mahalia said, we got over. But we had God. Look at all the things that we did. The hospitals, the schools. Because it's your mind, you know, what you think, so a man thinketh, so he is. And if your pressure is up every day because all you're thinking about, you got to get shot, you got to get this, you got to get that, and you're not saying, you can do this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can build schools. Look at me. I'm building schools. Look at, you can build a hospital. You can build a community. And one of the sad things I was telling somebody the other day is that the resources are there to help. I was looking at some of the lands and stuff of them building projects all over the city where they're giving other folks dollar, land for a dollar, but that's going to be a whole other thing, not today. That's the same thing you could do right here in Chicago. As we talk about Black history, and especially in Chicago and across the country, we've got something to say. Chicago was a very strong, did everybody get back? Chicago was a very strong economic and political place. We had a lot of banks. What happened to our banks? Why did they go under? What happened? What happened to Independent? What happened to all the banks we had? First of all, we need banks. We had banks. What happened to our stores? What happened to our clubs and our restaurants? Remember, you used to go all over the place. You can go from one place to the other. Why is it that our restaurants and our clubs got shut down? We got to go other places. Now, that wasn't no systemic racism. No white folks shutting down your clubs. Black folks did that. The folks, the very same people that you put in office to represent you, the first thing they did is get your place dry, set down the clubs, so you don't have no water hose. Harold would not have been elected if we didn't have water hose. What are water hose? Well, you get together, you talk, and you plan. If you go drive around all over the city, you're going to find every community got there. They got their places where they gather. And we don't have a lot of places. It was black folks that were sitting on that board of CHA along with the whites that decided the public housing needed to come down. No other race in this country. And that happened across the country in the black community, by the way. Detroit, New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey. But no other race in the country would have allowed that many of their people to get displaced. But if you look at it from a historical perspective, since some of black history, when you look at it that way, you had the same black folks sold their soul for a bowl of soup. No, he said, no, I'm not. I don't have to go through a break. Don't do that to me. Thank you, Ebony. Okay, thank you. I thought you told me. So anyway, broke my train of thought. So anyway, when you have, okay, I got you. Okay. So when you have people saying, okay, these same people sold it for a bowl of soup said, oh, these gangbangers, these dope dealers over there, children can't go to school. And I remember telling them, our kids didn't go to school. Why is it they jump rope on Saturday and can't go to school through the week? Rather than fighting a fight to say that we want deferred maintenance and we want to fix this, we said tear it down. So we displaced a lot of our people. And my position was always a little black child have a right to live in an environment, not worry about where he or she sleeps at night or whether they can come home. I remember talking to all of the principals up and down State Street. And I said to them, you don't want this to happen because y'all going to lose y'all jobs. I had meetings with the principals, I had meetings with the ministers. I remember one thing Phil Jackson did, and those who listened would know, at his last birthday, he apologized for being one of those people who fought when I was fighting to save CHA. He was working for CHA. He said that's the worst mistake he made. We met, and I told him, I said, y'all, you know, when you get rid of public housing, that was when public housing got torn out, that was an economic, a hole in the economics of black people, not just in Chicago but across the country. Rather than fight for our people, we somehow give up too easy, and we be led by somebody else. And right now the black community is not being led by spiritual people, people who believe in God. The black community is not being led by black people. You got other folks giving orders to those who don't sold their birthright, and they give us orders. So people are confused, and some of them just say, I'm not going to be bothered anymore. So when you look at the history of our people, it's always been our spirituality, it's been our churches, it's been our women. If we don't fight for the minds of our children, or fight for the right to have a place to stay and have a job, hey, what is it all about? Are to build businesses? What are we doing? So you got a handful of people who are going to have, because they're going to go with the haves until the haves get tired of them. And then you're going to have the have-nots. And that's across this country. So my question to you, as we celebrate black history, are you celebrating black history? Are you celebrating minority history? You tell me, you can call and tell me who have a strategy laid out. I might try to get my minister on from when I was in Bell Street Church on next week, who was there when the MIA was formed. He's still alive. But what group of ministers are sitting together and saying, this is what we got to do. We'll die for this. What group of leaders are saying, we're going to join in. What group of educators say that the children not being educated, we're going to open up schools? The few black people we still, black Americans that we still have who are in the medical profession, how do we get this? How do we get science? How do we get math? How do we get music? That's black history to me. That's me. How do you make them folks in Springfield go back and then make black history be taught in our schools? That's black history to me, to teach what we have done so our children won't feel so sad about what we can do. It's Black History Month. We're talking about Black History Month, talking about how Harold and all of them formed the Illinois Black Caucus. Folks just think black is a word, black conveniently, black, and then they go right to the minority. I didn't talk about the remap. Talk of Chicago, 69WN, our number is 773-591-6090. We're streaming live at www.wn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook, and we're on Blog Talk if you miss us. So we're going to go to the phones in a minute. But I'm trying to figure out how do you, if you don't fight for your children, then who are you going to fight for? I don't think black folks are this scared when we were growing up as children in the South, even in the North, because they was always, S.B. Fuller, look what he did. What did S.B. Fuller do? John Johnson, George Johnson, all the people who did some stuff. They built. We got to tell our children about all of that. Let me go to the phone. Hello? 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 What, yes. Minister Plump?
Yes, this is Minister Plump. Good morning. Way on Yashalom.
Your phone is clear this week. What did you do to clear it up?
Oh, I got a new phone.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I'm a miracle again. I've been a miracle all my life, really. However, my car burned up, got burned down to the ground.
What happened?
But I'm still standing. And I'm only standing because of God's will. And I'm going to help you to organize all the ministers from Reverend Jackson to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to the Honorable Charles Muhammad, that we might be able to continue to promote freedom, justice, equality, and economics, and black power. Black is beautiful. And, you know, we got to not only stand up and protect women, but especially the children. You know, you'd be really on target, Dorothy, all the time.
If people are not going to fight for their children, people see, have no respect for us. I be watching all these different channels, and they're laughing at us. They're laughing at us. Are these other folks coming over here laughing at us like this woman said the other day? Well, I can't because they're not taking response. They're not taking advantage of what's available. The stuff that's available, we fought for. This is the dumbest generation these last two or three generations we've had because they're not being educated.
Right. That's the key word is education. You know, Malcolm X said education is the passport to our future, and we must continue. Even the Honorable Mayor Washington said we must pump the whole community. So we are hiring 100% of our people and more. And we as a people are a miracle people.
Well, people don't know. You know, Minister Plump. They don't know how we elected Harold. They don't have no idea. They think someday one day folks got some petitions. Harold said, give me 1,500 petitions, and Harold got elected. They don't even know the whole story. Of the Mollison parent and parent equalizers. You know, I like to tell people this story. Listen, I like to tell people what people don't know.
Yes, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, we have to get back to the God consciousness, like Mama D. Love always say, Aweo and Yah. Mm-hmm. And we must go on the fact that God is healing us each and every day. And he's still creating miracles. And we must do what we got to do, and that's to educate our young to our elders or re-educate them in the sense of reform, opportunities unlimited, and put our priorities in our future, which is our children.
There's no future if we don't save our children.
And we're going to be at the National Black Wall Street tomorrow. And we need to collaborate, Dorothy. You know, unity is the key.
Well, you know, one of the things is we need to have two or three things we're working on. and all this stuff all over the board. What I found is most folks will start working Minister Plump, and then they go like Esau and sell their soul for a bowl of soup. Did you see what happened?
Oh, no.
You see this $60 billion that the so-called Black Lives Matter people got and they ripped off? You saw that? You better go look it up. $60 billion that they done took and bought houses in Canada and bought houses all over the place. Now they done put a hold on all their money, and now they finna come after them. Everybody gave them this money. And then I saw the young man in Minnesota, so they didn't see none of it. So that's what I mean. People come and they make money and they off of our people back and our people never see it. Thank you so much, Minister Plump. You know, I was telling folks, most folks don't even know when it comes to Harold Washington that our movement that we had with Harold Washington. But we also had the Parent Equalizer down on Van Buren. It was next to Running Steakhouse. Some of y'all know what Running Steakhouse was. On the first floor was Leonard Searcy, who's Leonard Muhammad now, and his brother Parcell. They had a Popeye Chicken. They had the first franchise. We was over the top of it. That's where our office was. And when Harold ran, he couldn't get an office downtown, so the Parent Equalizer, we gave him our office. And that's what Jackie Grimshaw and all of them worked out of until he won the primary. Most folks don't know that. And folks just, now, you know, we got to do it for a reason. And people got to get together, and they got to talk about, we got to be laser-focused on what we're going to do here. And I think our people begin to follow people who don't believe in God. You can't do anything. I'm sorry. We in our movement, we prayed before, we prayed in the middle, we prayed afterward. And we really believe. That's why Mahalia Jackson said what she said, how I got over. Now, I'm going to take this call, then I'm going to go back and let Mahalia Jackson sing some more for you. Hassan.
Good morning, Alderman. How are you doing this morning? I just wanted to say one statement. I attended on Wednesday night the annual legislative Black Caucus's Black History Soiree,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted you to know that they give out three awards now. They give out one in the name of the late, great Dick Newhouse, another one in the name of Wybetta Young, who was from the East St. Louis area, and another one in the name of Billy Page, who was the first Black lobbyist around. And I want
she
you to know...
She lobbied for Budweiser, didn't she?
Yes, and yeah, I want to know that Iola McGowan, her daughter accepted the award in the name of Billy Page for that one, and then Dick Newhouse's award went to Father Flicker.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. They need to also tell the history. If they get into
right, exactly, and also I know you got some other callers, but I want to tell you that the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus is 55 years old this year.
Okay. And did they did they need to write on their thing what was the purpose?
Exactly.
See, the and purpose.
Dr. Irma Williams is a very good friend of mine and also Paul, and I really wish she would update that book she did.
She probably will. I'll talk to Paul about it.
Talk to Paul about it. But thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. But the thing of it is they need to look at the purpose of the Black Caucus. They want to institutionalize Black political power, and they came together as they studied to see how can they get some same thing with the Black Caucus in the council. These people come and they say, this is the Black Caucus speaking. And you say, wait a minute. I wonder what was the Black Caucus at when they gave the Asians a history, demand the history be taught in their schools, and they didn't do the Black. I was reading the other day where they said that, this tell you I miss history. I was reading where they had something, and it was historical, allegedly historical fact, that the end of slavery was with Juneteenth. I read that in the paper. It was a trip on the Sun-Time. Somebody was talking, and I said, that was not the end of slavery. That's not when Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman all of them fought to abolish slavery. That was the 13th Amendment. It was passed by Congress January 31st, 1865. It was ratified December 6th, 1865, in December. And what I didn't understand was how they said Juneteenth. That's what I mean by how they confuse our people. When Biden said, I'm going to make Juneteenth a national holiday, are you kidding me? Then you had pricked them. Some of the Juneteenth was not the abolition of slavery. That was about, and I've celebrated Juneteenth for a long time. I've been to Texas, spoke during Juneteenth time. I've been to Oklahoma. They was always celebrating that. It was a group who didn't realize that it was in that Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And it was one group in Texas. But now they got it written, what, that was the abolition of slavery. So our children would grow up thinking that Juneteenth is the abolition of slavery. That's all. We need to come together. Not just to come together, but there has to be a nucleus, our spiritual leaders, who have to really be grounded in God and understand and being directed by God. Dr. King was directed by God. We didn't have, when I was growing up, this much demonic stuff going on. And our people right now are being led by demonic spirits who don't believe in the nuclear family, don't believe in men. They want to get rid of men. If they, hey, look, I don't look at nobody's keyhole. But what right do you have to say we're going to get rid of gender, nobody, biology, not teach biology? Why you want to teach biology? Because X, Y, X, X. And I'm glad a man size 7 is larger than a woman size 7 shoe. God did this. How you going to mess up what God did? What, you going to make all the babies on a little peach tree? Telephone. You know how going to make all that? You going to do that? But it's like there's some stuff going on here. I remember Otis said to me, look, Olive, if God don't do something about this stuff, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But we have to be spiritually led. And our people right now are being led by, I mean, your child is in school. I was looking on, in California. This mother was very upset that the teacher told this girl, this little girl at 10, that she was gay. She was something, transgender, and gave her another name for that and was and meeting with her and telling her about her stuff. The parents are suing now. Because she had boys' tendency. And I'm saying, wait a minute. You got to put this stuff back in the hands of parents. I told y'all I was a tomboy when I was little. I jumped fences. It was just me and my brother. So I was tough as he was. I shot marbles when we went to shoot marbles against other folks in the community. He had his bucket of marbles with his cat eye, and I'd go down there and shoot. I jumped fence. I played ball. I climbed trees. They would have said then, I wouldn't have had my 5 beautiful children. They would have said then, oh, something wrong with this girl. But now in some places, they're not going to teach biology. And then, and if you got to go look it up, in some places they also got where they want to bring down math and science and all of those things. There's a lot of stuff going on, but because your mind is so messed up with this other stuff, you don't see the world stuff. And then other folks come in, they go to the great schools, they got all the great stuff, and they're moving on past you. God got to come in this. It got to be led. There's a, and then outside of Illinois, Ebony, you can type the name because I don't forgot the name of the town where they've had after school. There was parents sending their kids thinking they're getting after school tutoring, and it was demonic teaching them about. It was a demonic school. If maybe Ebony will hear me in a minute type. I don't remember the name of it, but it was outside there. So it's a lot of stuff going on here. Patrick.
Good morning, Sister Tillman.
Patrick from Omaha. Hi, Patrick. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. And you talked about the importance of believing in God and faith. And could you imagine what would happen if our folks just turned back to God,
mm-hmm.
turned back to the family, turned
right.
back
mm-hmm.
to following the Lord? And understanding that there's a code of conduct and a standard of behavior that goes along with that.
Right.
We'd be enriched as a people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there'd be guidance and direction and so forth. Yes, I agree with you. There's a demonic force
mm-hmm.
throughout our folks,
right.
particularly in our leadership, which is leading us astray with these narratives of worrying about everybody else and you know, no, Christianity is about taking care of yourself first. Because once you're healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, economically, then you can help other people.
Right. And you know what, Pastor?
You know?
We're giving our children over to other folks.
Yes.
And if you don't fight for our children, right now these schools, look, our children are behind everybody. And these schools in these cities, I was looking at a study in Baltimore where
mm-hmm.
the 12th grade students are graduating reading at a third grade level.
It's pitiful.
And what are we talking about here? And then you got people who are supposed to teach. You don't have any blacks in the system. They put their children somewhere else. The elected officials put their children somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. They're going to put their schools in the best private schools, their children in the best private schools that they can find.
But my taxes didn't go down. My taxes didn't go down. You know, but they're still taking my taxes.
Yeah.
So do we need to build? We need to do something, get some schools. We need to be Marvin Collins or something. This stuff is so deep. I have to pray. You know, and really,
it may take, as Dr. Anderson has said, it just may take more pain to people stuck between a rock and a hard place to say, okay, all right, I submit. I've got to do something to change.
How much more pain, Patrick? How much more pain? We almost, in all over this country, in our communities being overran and taken away. Like Benny Thompson right now is heading up this so-called, quote-unquote, committee on January 6th. And then when he got in office as a congressperson, people in Mississippi had more land. Why are he protecting the Mississippi land? We put people in office that don't protect us.
You know, January 6th, I understand that was a horrible event, but they're just fixated on that. Look what's happening in Chicago. Look what's happening with our young folks and the crime and the self-hate and the lack of opportunity and just the loss, the direction they don't have.
Right.
It's sad. It's sad to see.
Why ain't he trying to do something about the land being taken away in Mississippi?
I don't know.
That's what I mean by we put our priorities in the wrong place. Right now, the border. You see all these folks come across the border?
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to send boys and girls to protect the border in another country, and yet right here, our border's not protected. It's just some crazy mess. Our schools, what are we fighting for? What about our schools?
Know,
you don't fight for your children, Patrick. Who are you going to fight for?
When you talk about the border, and you see a lot of these males coming over, you know.
Yeah.
And right here in Omaha, there's a pocket of them, a group of them that they're just taking over neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when you go as a black man, when I walk into their neighborhood, their area, they'll look at you like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
This is our turf.
Yeah.
You know? And black folk, you know, they just like, well, now we're all, they talk that nonsense. Leaders, they say, we're all immigrants. I'm not no immigrant.
No,
My people weren't no immigrant.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
You know, well.
And you know what, Patrick, I'm going to let you go. I like what you said. It was a creature of the wild. But now they don't call themselves immigrants, illegal immigrants. They call themselves migrants. You know why they call themselves migrants?
Yeah.
Because black folks migrated from the north to the south, from the south to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And black folks don't start saying migrants. That's what they say now. They don't say immigrants. They say migrants.
We have, as a people, we have such a rich history.
Right.
Let me tell you, Sister Spillman, I love the United. I love being here in the United States. You know why? I got a dog in this fight.
My
people built this country.
Uh-huh.
And I have no intention of leaving.
Thank you. Staying here. Thank you.
You know?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I thank
you're
you for calling.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All freedom over me. You got a song? I got to play this for you. This is what got us, how we got over. This is our spirit. This is the song, y'all. This is the spirit. Y'all. Y'all call back. I don't know what happens to your calls. Yay! That's not this Black History, y'all. I'm playing for y'all. You can't tell me that y'all other folks went through this, people of color. You came over here. You had a place to come to. We had nowhere to go but to our God. Woo! Yay! That's Bliss's Black History, y'all. Yeah. This is Black History, y'all. This is Black History. Woo! All freedom. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Black History, y'all. Yeah! Woo! Black History Month, y'all. This is real. Y'all can get the Tillman Handbook of the Great Black American Patriots and know what we've done. Woo! Black History, y'all. That's the real Black History. Don't tell me that you went through what I went through. You haven't gone through the... You ran over here. You dying to get over here. You fighting for something that we get. We had nowhere to run. And nowhere to go. Nowhere. Anita.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine. Celebrating Black History Year.
I'm not making a joke, but I think I have to be a woman with a woman today or either be a woman with a man with a man. They expect women to form children with men. And then if you were a woman, I don't know how that's supposed to work. But I don't know. The logic is off, Dorothy. So I don't know what we're going to do to make people understand that logic is totally not something we can work with. But I just wanted to say something about Rahm Emanuel getting away with all of this stuff and getting a big paycheck, you know, after all of this with Laquan McDonald. And, of course, Dick Durbin once again is speaking, you know, where it's not benefiting the Black community.
Well, he probably cut the deal. He probably cut the deal. Thank you so much, Anita. Probably cut the deal. Sharon.
Hello.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi there. Thank you so much for educating us and inspiring us. Keep teaching the history. And I agree with everything you said except one thing, Sister Dorothy.
What?
We don't have any reason to be desperate or anything like that. You know what? These babies are not only educated, they're self-educated. They're going online.
Well, you better look
Academy.
At Sharon.
Hold on, teaching themselves coding. They're teaching themselves computers and all of that. They really are moving ahead. So don't be discouraged by the data.
Okay.
The data is off.
Well, there's a group, Sharon, there's a group that's getting left behind. And I know there's a group that's functionally illiterate. We talk about you. I know children are doing coding and all of that because I have that in my family. Like, but
that's
but
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Sharon.
All right. Thank you.
I'm not going to say too much because I ain't got but about 5 minutes. I'm going to try to empty the board. Cedric?
Hey, good morning, Ms. Tim. How you doing today?
I'm fine.
Good. You know what? I want to share my Black experience story, Black history experience story. I'm a Generation Xer. I'm in my 40s. And I remember vividly in the 80s when my parents used to travel back down to Mississippi down there to Chula, to the country.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't stop. I think we only stopped one time to get gas in Boomland.
Uh-huh.
And we kept going. And we always had the fried chicken. We took a fried chicken and the
fried
sandwiches
chicken
and the
cake, a pound cake.
Yeah, all of that. and I never knew why until I got older, until I saw that green book. It was a time when you couldn't stop nowhere to get gas from down from Mississippi to Chicago.
Yeah.
And we had
that.
To just keep rolling. We had to keep what we couldn't stop. And I never understood why until I got older.
Well, that's why I'm telling you, these folks can't tell me that they, what we have, what we went, like Lorraine, like Lerone Bennett said, nobody have gone through what we've gone through. And Black folks have got to take back our history,
yeah.
Take back, and we got to do what we got to do because we got to save our families and our children. Thank you, Cedric. Like, I don't understand. Like, Bennett need to be fighting for the land in Mississippi. We're fighting for the wrong things. We need to be fighting, like, for the land in Mississippi. We need to be fighting for our communities. you know, it's something. Let me try to empty this thing. David?
Yeah, good morning, Mrs. Tillman.
Uh-huh. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, yourself.
I'm fine.
I was trying to shovel some snow this week, I was like, you know, wow, there's a path. You know, shoveling snow is like a path. We make a path and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking about Black History Month. And I said, the guy, Carter G. Wilson, historical Black history, the history guy, I said, he laid a path for us to actually, like, to relate to Black history.
Right.
And then he wrote a book about the miseducation of the Negro.
Right.
Like, okay, why did he write this book? Mm-hmm. And how come many scholars and, you know, HBU, whatever, colleges, mm-hmm. you know, they don't actually, like, you know, follow that path and say, okay, now we got to teach our people. Because
uh-huh.
they're being miseducated.
Mm-hmm.
They're being, you know, miseducated to be illiterate, whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, he first started out with Black History Week. And
right.
they really started right there on Wabash, 37 in Wabash at the Wabash Y. That's one of the Ys when I was in office that I saved and rehabbed to make sure we keep that, that it didn't get torn down. So he started that. A lot of stuff got started at the Wabash Y on 37 and Wabash. Thank you so much. Okay, all right. Josh, hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes. Hello?
You hear me? Hello?
Yeah. You got up 30 seconds. I'm going to try to empty the board. I mashed you though first. Yes. What happened? Okay. I guess he gone. Okay. All right. Okay, y'all. Okay. I got one more call I'm going to take, and then we're going to have to get out of here because we got to understand that we got the power as Black people. I'm going to do We Got the Power, then I'm going to ease into reparation. But as Black people, you got the power. I would like y'all to get my son's book, The Patriot, Jimmy's book, so you can look about Black history. And there's a lot of other books out there. Get Lerone Bennett's book, Tillman's Handbook, A Great Black American Patriot. Make sure you get it at the TillmanFamilyPress.com. That's Ebony's and Jimmy's company. But anyway, do I supposed to get number two, or are they just on? Okay. I'm through, y'all. I'm in a little kind of not, I got to leave and go to a funeral, so that's why I'm kind of a little off here. Love you, Copeland, Miss Copeland, who was part of my staff. She was back there helping get Harold Washington in, and we've been together a long time. She lost her son, Howard Darrell Copeland, who also, when there's a little boy out there pushing and working hard for all of that, his funeral is today at 9600 South Bend Sin at the Trinity All Nation. Wake is at 11. The funeral is at 12. So if I've been a little here and there, you know, it's like losing one of my own. Ms. Copeland, we're praying for you. Our heart goes out to you, and may God keep you. We got the power. I'll see y'all. We got the power, and then I'm easing to reparation. But so anyway, and if you didn't understand what I told you, you can call Taylor Funeral Home and they'll tell you. Darrell, he's like a son of mine. So I said, I got to go in because it's Black History Month. I got to run home and get dressed and try to go and be with his mother and the rest of his family. You got the power. I probably do it going to 10 seconds of the other one. Got the power. You got the power, Black folks. Your heart and your mind is one. Wherever your mind is what you're going to do. When Jesus gave up the ghost, he said, I leave you a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And Black folks have always stayed with that Holy Spirit. Wasn't nothing too big for us to climb. You got the power. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Black, you got the power. That's what brought us through. Yeah. Our people have been doing it since they was enslaved and came on over and built because of the Spirit of God. We laid them mountains down. It's in our heart. No more calls, y'all. Woo, I'll see y'all next week. We're going to really get on down next week in Black History. You got the power.
I see. that cold muddy water.
I see that cold muddy water.
Rising around the wind.
Yeah. But it's all right. Come on now. Love you, love you. Evidence to put in cold welcome for this count. Welcome 615, okay.
Got the power.
Yeah, yeah.
Make that storm a breeze.
Yeah.
And it's all there in your heart.
Right there in your heart. Your heart and your mind is one. God gave us an innate spirit. God will be with us. Who can be against you? I'm not going to be at Liberty Church Wednesday. It's been pushed back a week because of the storm. I'll be there the following Wednesday for Bible class at 7 o'clock talking about Black history. Liberty Baptist Church of Houston, you know, Pastor Andrew Hunt, Jr. Yeah, we start our Black history this Wednesday. Now, down. Yes, I got the power. Next week, Dorothy Wright Tilden says, it's right there in your heart. Reparation sound.
Former slave, in shackles and locked in chains, but somehow my soul remains. But it gets old.
In this slavery industry, is this nation's foundation of economy? What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago.
Found a loaded gun on the floor in the car. There were adults in the front seat, the boy's mother and a friend. Police say they were not paying attention to Jerrion and his younger siblings in the back because...